Good evening. This is KGVM, Gallatin Valley Community Radio, 95.9 FM on your dial, or you can listen to all the favorite shows at kgvm.org. That's kgvm.org. This is the Meditation to Self-Realization show. I'm Jim, and Marion is still in India. I'd love to give you an update. There's not much to say. It's a silent retreat. She gets to talk to me once a week. So I'm counting the days. I think maybe tomorrow will be the day that I hear from her. I did find out that today she was doing a 24-hour marathon of inner work, is what I'm guessing. So it'll be interesting to hear what that was about. I'm honored to do this show, even if I have to do it by myself. It's more fun with my wife. Today, what I thought I'd do is read from the Four Sacred Secrets. And rather than doing the customary little meditation, silent meditation that Marion does at the beginning, what I want to do is just get into the reading. And then in between different areas, I'll play some meditation music. So I'll read for about 3 or 4 minutes, and then we'll listen to some, we'll do a meditation. Just kind of, I'm going to call it process meditation. So when you, after we read, the first couple of pages, then we can think about that a little bit, process it, look, see how that is in our lives, in our personal lives, as we meditate. So I hope that you have fun with it. I hope you enjoy it, and maybe get some insight of what you might need in your life or change. Or so relax and enjoy the show. So this chapter is called The First Life Journey. Heal the Wounded Child. This is by Krishna G, and it's from the Four Sacred Secrets. Most people live with a sense of self-imposed claustrophobia. Perhaps you have experienced this painful state yourself. It's as if a crowd showed up at your front door and announced they were throwing a party. Only this was not just any crowd. The crew flooding into your living room, uninvited, included everyone who had ever wronged you, hurt you, made you feel ashamed to be yourself. Before you knew it, they began to offer unsolicited opinions about the decor, the choice of music, and, well, every decision you've ever made. They were loud, they were judgmental, and they didn't want to leave. You did anything to escape the cornucopia of criticism, but it was impossible to ignore this crowd, and unfortunately, wine only made them louder. The more you asked them to leave, the noisier they became. Not knowing what to do, you froze. Sure, you would have loved nothing more than some peace and quiet, and yet, strangely enough, after a few hours of this racket, you got used to your unwelcome guests. Many of them were all the people you loved most, your parents, your siblings, your first friends, your acquaintances. Still, the longer they stayed, the more they wore you down. You found it became impossible to disentangle their words, opinions, and ideas from your own. You started to feel tentative, as skittish as a cat on a fence. If only you could find a little space. If only you could get unstuck. If only you could start moving forward again. Life is a great river, ever rushing forward, always presenting us with new opportunities for love, connection, and expansion. But if we want to move forward with it, we must become free of our past that tethers us to the murky and stagnant banks, where no forward motion is possible. I'm sure we've all been in those situations, especially if you're an introvert. sometimes it is difficult. I know that's my issue quite often, but I'm getting better at it. Let's do a meditation. This one's about 5.5 minutes, and it's called The Calling. So let's take a few deep breaths, starting now. Inhale. Make your exhalation longer than your inhalation. When you inhale, say hum. Hum. Exhale, sa. Okay. Let's return to our party analogy. We must make peace with those unwanted guests who have taken up residence in our minds and hearts. We must awaken to the dimension of calm in our consciousness. We must arise to a state of total presence to all the voices telling us that we are stupid, foolish, unworthy, as well as the ones telling us that we are right and everyone else is wrong. How? By healing the wounded child that lives within us all, frozen in time, its cries drowned out by the raucous crowd. We must hold a spiritual vision to loosen the grip of the past so that our inner ice may thaw and we break free from the rigidity of the past, so we can be present to the present and move effortlessly into the future. When we do, there is no turning back anymore. Our life will begin to flow like a great river toward the ocean, toward greater order, well-being, and expansion. Let's begin. Imagine that while waiting in a line at a trendy restaurant, you trip and fall. A hush falls over the diners and your cheeks redden with shame. You tried so hard to look fashionable, and with one wrong step, the truth was revealed to the world. You don't belong here, and everyone knows it. Long after you dust yourself off, you obsess about the fall. The physical pain was minimal, but the emotional upset lingers long after you lost your balance. And when life beckons you with the next experience, you are too lost in a whirl of chaotic thinking. You are drowning in the dim of your own inner conflict. Now imagine yourself instead as a baby toddler taking your first steps. When you fall down and hurt your knee, you cry. But as soon as the physical pain fades, something else catches your eye. You are ready for the next experience even before the tears have dried. It is as if the pain never happened. Such is the beautiful state of joy of a happy child. Just as birds leave no trace of their paths in the sky, our past leaves behind no painful emotional trial. It is a clear slate of consciousness that is ready for the next experience. Let's do another meditation, and this one is called Dust. We'll again start with three breaths. Inhale, fill up your diaphragm. Take another little sip of air. Exhale. Slowly pushing all the air out. And relax into the next breath. And with your diaphragm. And last sip of air. And exhale. Slowly. Shut all. One more deep breath. Exhale. Relax. Thank you. Okay, let's continue with our reading. The happy child and the wounded child are not mere memories of our past. They are beautiful and suffering states of being we still experience, whether we are aware of them or not. All of us have been a happy child at some point in our lives. We have all experienced a state that was free from fear and unhappiness. As a happy child, you are not afraid of making mistakes. You are not stuck in a whirl of self-centric misery. You smile more radiantly, you laugh joyfully, and you cry freely, and you love deeply. Life feels uncomplicated. There emerges a calm conviction about creating a beautiful destiny, one that does not require constant repetition and affirmation on your part. There is no longer a half-hearted or casual approach to work or relationships. This happy child is refreshingly innocent and joyfully honest. There is a popular YouTube video with over 114 million views and counting. It's of a young boy and his mother having a conversation about love and cookies. The boy tells his mother that while he loves her, he does not always like her. He only likes her when she gives him cookies. Even if we were too young to remember, we have all been that happy child. We have all existed in that simple state. We like things we believe cause us happiness, and we dislike things that we believe cause us pain. We're in the beautiful state of the happy child. It doesn't matter if feelings are right or wrong. They are our own. They are real to us because we have not yet learned to judge ourselves for having such feelings. We are happy. What then causes the disappearance of this happy child state? How does the wounded child state appear in its place? Well, we all know what happens after the happy child gives some honest appraisal of the world. The adults chuckle at the innocent audacity, and a well-meaning parent, uncle, or aunt tells the child, "This is not how a good boy behaves. A good boy always loves his parents, just like he loves eating his vegetables and doing his homework." Despite the good intentions behind them, such statements can plant seeds of doubt, confusion, and even shame in a child's mind. His inner experiences may not have changed. He still likes his parents best when he's being fed things he likes, like cookies. He still feels jealous of the child with the best toys. He still finds certain kinds of schoolwork boring. But how he feels ashamed of those feelings. Time passes, the child grows up, but often with a great deal of inner conflict. We often chalk that dissatisfaction up to the natural processes of adulthood. But what if this suffering state of being is actually quite unnatural? What if there's a way to return to that beautiful state of joy? All right, let's do another meditation. This one we'll do a little longer. We'll make this about 11 minutes. And again, what we're doing is processing what we just read. So it's all about being honest, being truthful to our feelings. Not projecting any energy on whether they're right or wrong. Or looking for approval. Take three deep breaths. Up the abdomen and exhale. Inhale deeply, slowly. Up the diaphragm. One other sip of air and exhale slowly. Push out all the air. One more inhalation. Slow. Full. That's the breath. Say out. Full. Thank you. All right, we'll continue on with our reading. There's rain clouds that are passing through, so you might be hearing some rain in the background. It's kind of an auspicious evening this evening, especially working on the inner. At least that's the way it feels for me. Maybe I'm connecting with some of Marion's experiences out there. Tapa land in southern India and Ecom. All right, back to the discovering who we are, our inner child. What is your true nature? Let's share a fable from the Upshas, a series of ancient Indian texts that contain great wisdom about life and spirituality. It seems a lioness in the forest was pregnant. She was suffering both from the onset of labor and intense pains of hunger. Suddenly she noticed the mother sheep and her flock that had strayed from the village into the forest. The hungry lioness lunged for the flock, only to deliver her cub seconds later, then die. The mother sheep assumed the lion cub was one of her own offspring and sheltered him. And the cub grew up among the sheep, believing he was a sheep too, leading and eating grass like them. Awkward and incapable, the young lion struggled to emulate his brothers and sisters. He tried desperately to do all that his brothers and sisters did, reaching out to the tallest branches of trees to nibble at their tender leaves, walking along mountainous paths to feed on fresh grass. But as the lion cub grew, a great sadness came over him. He felt an urge to be something different, something more. One afternoon, he heard a lion roar in the distance. He ran to the mother sheep and asked her, "Can I roar like that too someday?" What do you think the mother sheep said? That is the lion. He is the king of the forest, and you are a mere sheep. With a hint of frustration, she said, you and I are meant to be meek and careful. This is our life, and you would be better off if you abandoned your fantasies. You have not even learned to graze properly yet. Learn to make friends with your brothers and grow up. Have we all not lived some version of this tale? Have we all not been told in some way or another to live a life of emotional compromise? Have we not been made to believe that to live in fear, loneliness, and stress is okay, and that everyone lives that way? Have we not been encouraged to ignore what we feel and get going with our everyday duties? Of all the emotional experiences we had as children, our relationships with our parents and others who played a parental role have had the most impact on our sense of self. These were our first experiences of love, care, empathy, connection, and joy. They were also our first experiences of rejection, disappointment, and loneliness. These early experiences became our habitual states, and they affect the way we feel about the experience ourselves and the way we experience and relate to other people in our lives. Some of us have had wonderful parents and joyful childhoods, while some of us had unpleasant experiences as children. Whatever the general atmosphere in which children grew up, even small rejections and feelings of neglect can cause deep emotional wounds in them. These wounds cannot be ignored, because when they happen to a child, the ramifications are deep and lasting, and they form the ground for the emerging wounded child state. Sometimes we dismiss our childhood anger or hurt as silly, something that has no relevance to our present life, where we believe we are different now, changed versions of ourselves, independent, strong, and responsible individuals. But if, for a moment, we could throw away any facade or self-image that we typically cling to, we will have a true discovery of ourselves, of the real impact our painful past has had on our consciousness. We will see the truth that we have been reliving the emotional experiences of our childhoods and suffering states in our present lives. And only in fearlessly seeing this truth is freedom possible. A story by Sir Ramakrishna, an Indian mystic who lived around 130 years ago, helps us realize the impact of habitual states of suffering. Two women went to the market one day to sell their goods. One was a flower seller, the other a fish seller. On their way back from the market, it began to rain heavily, so the friends decided to sleep in the flower seller's house, which was nearby. But the fish seller was unable to sleep, wondering what was causing sleep to elude her. She noticed the flower basket close to her. With a smile, she pushed the flower basket away from her, brought the blanket containing some stinking old fish closer, inhaled deeply, and quickly fell into a deep sleep. Oh boy. The states we have nurtured as children, whether beautiful or unpleasant, have a way of becoming our natural propensities. I'm still chuckling about that, sleeping with the fish. A nasty propensity, isn't it? When we give it to habitual emotions over and over again, an interesting process launches in our brains. Neurophysiologist Rick Hansen has called the brain a tofu-like tissue that lives inside our skulls. Inside it are more than 100 billion neurons, a trillion support cells called neurologia, and support cells, and a minimum of 100 trillion neural connections. Our thoughts and emotions, whether we are conscious of them or not, are like electric impulses moving at an incredible speed between neurons. Because of the brain's plastic nature, each thought or emotion flows like a wave on the sea, leaving no lasting impact. But when you give in to the same thoughts over and over again, you leave an enduring impact on the neural connections. I should say the neural connections. Much like the tides that shape a coastline, no matter what brain your parents and nature gave you, it is you, with your repetitive thinking and habitual emotions, who has been sculpting your own brain. You experience a stressful state as opposed to feeling the beautiful states of calm and joy. Simply recognize it. Do nothing more. It's a nice place to stop. I hope you all enjoyed the reading. There's more to it, but I thought this is a really good place to stop. We're getting to the end of the show. Get one more meditation. So let's take a deep breath. Exhale, the last sip of air, exhale, push all the air. And simply be beautiful. As we're dancing, beautiful. Thank you. Well, I hope you enjoyed the show tonight. I sure did. I got a lot out of it. I think now I have a lot more respect too for where other people are at, because we just don't know. We're all on this path. I'm always curious. How it's going for you, as well as my experiences. May the longtime sun shine upon you. May all love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way on. May the long time sun shine upon you. All love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way on. May the long time sun shine upon you. All love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way on. Guide your way on. Guide your way on. I bet you thought I was going to go for the high note. God bless. Have a good rest of the evening.